subject today, I ask a question. The question is, do you want to see God? And I answered it on the program here that I have here for myself, and I said yes. And I was hoping and praying that most of all, if not most all of us here, want to see him. And in this message today, we're going to try to tell you, or we're going to tell you, how you can get to see him. In this world, when we get the opportunity to meet an important leader or celebrity, most of us get excited and spend a good bit of time and energy in getting prepared to see that person. Many of us will try on different clothing before finally selecting what we will wear. And if you're going to be with them up close and personal, you will carefully rehearse what you will say, or some will actually stand in front of the mirror and practice the mannerisms and the gestures and the smiles that they are going to perform in front of that person. We do these things because we want to be at our best when we meet someone who is considered important. In the second passage that we read for you, Psalm 24, is about preparing for an audience with the most magnificent and memorable personality of all times, the Lord, King of Glory. The Ark of the Covenant represents God's literal presence among his people. This is where the bulk of our message is going to come from, because we need to understand that getting in the presence of God is not a small or little idea. Picture, if you will, with me the joyous scene as the Israelites were carrying the Ark of the Covenant up the hill to the city of Zion. The excitement grew with every step that they were going to take. Soon they would reach the sanctified spot on the holy mount where the ark would rest. The precise place where God's glorious presence would be manifested. This Ark of Covenant had been out of their presence for a number of years. David had tried to bring it back, and they put it on a new cart, and it fell, and Uzziah touched it, and God killed him. This is what they are trying to bring back into their presence. The word of the Psalms filled the air as they marched, reminding them of the qualifications of their sacred service. It killed this man because they were doing it wrong. They were carrying it on a new cart, and the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be carried by priests, and the wrong people were carrying it. So to get in the presence of God, things have to get right in the way that God would have for them to be. Soon they would enter the Lord's holy place. As they climbed the hill of Jerusalem, they were forced to examine themselves, and they were forced to search their heart and their lives for any form of impurities. You got to be right to come into the presence of God. You have to get yourself in condition, in position to do what thus saith the Lord. You got to give up something. You got to take on something. Because this is what God would have for us to do. Point number one comes from verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 24. They were seeking to enter and stand in God's holy presence. Verse 3 and 4. In order to stand in the presence of God, you must be holy. Holiness is required to enter into God's presence simply because God Himself is holy. And He cannot tolerate unholiness. No matter whatsoever, when the Lord gave Moses the instruction for the building of the Ark of the Covenant, He commanded him to make two cherubims, one on each side, with the wings stretching towards the middle, and the wings would meet. Those angels, cherubims or angels, were to be there. They were to face each other with their wings spread over the mercy seat. This is getting into the presence of God. You have to know that you have to get holy. You have to get holy. Yes, you said back it up, but you still can get there because you repent of your sin. You come to God and you admit to God, God, I messed up and I need forgiveness, and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Then you can continue to move toward becoming, getting in the presence of God. Amen. And brothers and sisters, can I just tell you, it doesn't take all day. Amen. Doesn't take all the week. You just got to make up your mind that I want to get in the presence of God. And some of the people that you come to worship with might not think that you're holy. Don't look at me funny. They think that about you just like they think it about me. But you're not trying to please them. You're trying to please God. You are wanting to look holy to the one that's holy. You can call yourself holy when you look at me and compare yourself to me. Don't compare yourself to me. One time, my wife bought me a suit, and I thought it was white until I got it upside something that was really white. She has to tell me now whether I have on a white shirt or a cream shirt. It looks white to me. That's the way we do ourselves when we call ourselves holy. We compare ourselves to some cream color thing. And we call it holy. Now compare yourself to Lord God Almighty, and you will see that the suit that you're looking at that you think is white is not white. This is to get in the presence of God. And I don't know about y'all, but I say this, I'm talking about me. When I go to get in the presence of God, Jesus is going to have to be standing right there. Some of the rest of you, He might not have to be there, but for me, I know He's going to have to be there because I know my life. Jesus is going to have to be there to be between me and God so He can stop. Because holiness has to be in His presence. Nothing else will tolerate it. He won't tolerate it. So to seek Him, you have to surrender yourself to Him and admit that you are a wretch undone. As holy as you think you are, you still are as filthy rags in the presence of God. This is why Christ had to die for our sin so that we could get in the presence of God. It's good, God. God cannot stand sin because He will judge sin. In order to judge His sin, He must Himself be holy. The Ark of the Covenant was a depiction of God's actual throne in heaven. Isaiah and Ezekiel and the Apostle John had heavenly visions of the throne of God. And each testified that the presence of God is surrounded by angels. Isaiah and John reported that the angels pronounced God's holiness and bars any unholiness whatsoever from entering his presence. Isaiah added that one of the cherubims took a coal from the altar and purged his sins with it before he could stand in the presence of God. So you see, no matter how righteous we think we are, you still got some getting better to do. And we can't erase all of our sin, but because we are coming in the name of Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son, because he shed his blood. This is why he told the man, the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't tell him right now, because he had to go there and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. When the blood hit the mercy seat, everything was all right. So see, but until this blood gets there, everybody else were in bad shape. But when the blood of Jesus got, it sanctified and it purified. This is why when they got the blood of the animal, they sprinkled it on the Ark of the Covenant to forgive them of their sins. God fixed a way so they could. What's this thing when you go out? Appetizer. When you go out to eat? Appetizer? Okay. But I might not can say it, but I know what it is. Is that what you get before you get your meal? It's to tide you along. It's to get you, entice you to wait on the rest of it. This is what this is right here that we're doing now. This is to entice us to keep coming, because the meal is coming. You got something better coming. Because God got something for you if you stay with him. But you got to stay with him, and you got to be seeking him. And in order to do that, you must get holy. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He's not a halftime God. He's a God that's holy, he's pure, and he's righteous. And so for us to be that way, we have to seek after him, knowing he's not lost, but you got to seek after him. The scriptures clearly teaches us, before we can enter God's presence, we must be holy. We must be holy. The only effective way to seek God is to be holy. Totally sanctified, pure, and set apart for God. Our hands must be clean. Our hands must be clean. Our hearts must be pure. The clean hands mean that our behavior, our conduct among our brothers and our sisters in the world must be clean and level and above board. You can't have an underhanded reason for doing what you're doing. You got to be straightforward. If it's going to kill somebody, you need to tell them it's going to kill you. You don't need to tell them it'll make you feel bad for a little while, and then you'll be all right, and it'll kill them. No, that's deceit. That's bad conduct. That's not clean hand. You must have clean hand. You must deal with everyone as if you are them that you're dealing with, and have clean hands and a pure heart. If your hands get clean, your heart will be pure. And pure means that there's nothing defiled. There's not anything wrong with it. You don't have any ill thoughts in your heart. Your heart is clear because you're doing what thus saith the Lord. You have to surrender everything to him. Not sometime. Not when I feel right. Not when my people say it's okay. You have to know that you're seeking a holy God and to be into his presence. Everything won't seem like it's right. But if you're living according to the word of God, you can withstand the ridicule and the abuse that comes your way. But if you're faking it, when things get difficult, you'll turn and you'll walk away. But if you're real when they get difficult, you'll yet stand, you'll bend, and you'll go every which way, but you won't lose your footing. When you get rooted and grounded in the word of God, you can withstand the abuse that comes your way. When you are seeking after him, you can have it outwardly
and not have it inwardly. You have to have it inwardly, and then it will come to the outside. Cancer does not start on the outside of the body. Most of the times, if not all the time that I know about it, it starts inside. And it works its way to the outside. You got to get your heart right. If you get your heart right, if you surrender yourself to Jesus Christ, everything will be all right. You might not seem like it. It might not think like it. You might not. But you just got to stay there. When things are not right and you're seeking God, don't give up. Hold on. Just a little while longer and everything will be all right. You just got to stay there. You got to stay there. Now I understand why it took me so long to get this. Because before, I'm learning this, before you can preach a message, you have to get the message. And when you get the message yourself, then you can give it out. I didn't go to the Bible to study to get a sermon for you. I got this one because of my Bible study. When you study God's word, God will lead you to his what he would have for you to say. If I go to the word to get a message for you, it won't do me any good. I'm preaching to you. I preach to me more than I do anybody else. So this is it. This is what I've been dealing with this week in this message. David meant that if we lift up our soul unto vanity, that which is empty, it's no good. I could stand here and hoop and holler and preach and have you getting up all over this place. But if my life wasn't right, it wouldn't do any good. Paul said somewhere in his writing, I preach and I teach and everybody else be saved, but I'm lost. See, you can't, you got to have this in your soul. It have to be in you, and you have to live it every day. When God brings you to himself, or when you decide to come to himself and God allows you to come into his presence, you will be holy. Now, I know I said this before. Everybody else might not think you are. That's all right. You just keep living holy. You keep living holy. And one day, if God intends for them to see that you're holy, it'll be all right. And if you want everybody else to be satisfied with you, you need to worship them. The people that worship the true God alone, they are admitted into his presence. When you worship God and you worship him and him only, you can get into his presence. And when you get into his presence, oh, what a joyous time that will be. And don't let somebody tell you that it's based upon how you feel. It's not based upon feelings. I don't know any other way to say it. It's based upon what's on the inside of your heart. And if you don't live it, when you leave the sanctuary, well, you know. Point number two. If you do what's in point one, point number two is you will receive God's blessings and his righteousness. That's in verse five. At this point in the Psalms and in life too, all of us who are honest and recognize our sinful condition must hang our head in despair and shame because we do not have clean hands.
and a pure heart. We are not true to the Lord. We have all lied. We have all been deceitful with others. There has been a failure of our flesh. And we have ways of constantly repeating the sins that we have committed before. Therefore, in the shape that I'm in, we cannot enter the presence of God. We cannot stand in His holy presence. But we can lift our hopeless head when we seek Him and receive His Son and catch a true glimpse of God. For He sits on His throne and meets us at the mercy seat, where Christ sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. He have mercy upon us when we come into His presence with our heart wide open, and on our knees, repenting of the sin that we have committed. God does not want any of us to spend eternity in hell. This is why Jesus died on the cross and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, so man could be back in fellowship with God. When you come to Christ and you surrender to Him, you give Him every one of your sins. Someone said the other day or the other night that when I think of something I've done wrong and I don't remember whether I have asked God to forgive me or not, I go ahead and ask Him again anyway. Because see, God have done all He's going to do for you when He saved you, but he forgave you of all your sin. But when some of them come to your mind that you don't know that you have personally asked Him to forgive you for, ask Him again. Because we need to know, we need a satisfaction because we are in the flesh. I know without a shadow of a doubt, with every little bit of brain that I have, that Christ has forgiven me for all of my sin. But if something comes to my mind that I've done against or said against somebody else, I have to ask for forgiveness. And some people wrestle with this right here. If the people that you need to ask for forgiveness are no longer on top of the earth, Ask God. It'll be all right. Because if it's coming from your heart, then God will forgive you. But ask Him to forgive you. And then when you come before His presence and He forgive you of your sin, you're all right. You will receive God's blessing. Every one of us in here today have received numerous of blessings from God today because we are yet alive. We are here today to say that God have blessed me to see this day. Just to be here, to be able to put one foot in front of the other one is a blessing, because some people are not able. God will not condemn you if you surrender your life to Him. If you surrender your life to Him, He will forgive you of your sin. But now, as long as you're walking around on top of the earth, you have to live the life of a believer. You cannot continue in your sin. You must make a turnaround. You must turn from sin to Christ. You must turn from an unbeliever to a believer. And it's not difficult. Like I said earlier, you just got to make up your mind. God will not condemn you. The mercy seat is a place where we receive mercy. Mercy is you receive something you have no business receiving. You've done something to go the other way, but God grants His mercy towards you. This is what He does. All human beings that are born of the seed of Adam inherit the nature of their father, Adam, which is sin. This is why Christ had to come, so that we could be back in fellowship with God.
So when he came, his blood purified us when we receive him. But you have to receive him in a spiritual sense. You have to allow him to tabernacle with you. You have to allow him to come and live within you. And when he lives within you, he's going to change you. You might not see yourself changing. You may think you're the same old Joe that you were yesterday or the week before. But if you allow Christ on the inside of you, he will change you. But you have to allow him to tabernacle with you. And I keep saying this because the rest of us might not believe that you change. But don't let us turn you around. You stay there on the place where you are, where God can save your soul. Because from what I understand with the Bible, hell is going to last a long time. It's going to last more than 65 or 70 years. We think Brother Skinner old at 80, what, 87? It's going to last longer than that. It's going to be eternity. That's a long time. The only thing I know on the other side of eternity is eternity. And it's going to be a long time. So we need to make up our mind what we're going to do. You need to make up your mind that you want to receive the blessings and the righteousness of God because you have surrendered yourself to him. Point number three. The truth is declared in verse 6. And I don't want you to miss the truth of this verse. Those who truly seek the Lord, seek his face, seek his presence, will receive salvation. They will be made righteous through the anointing sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ. A lot of people try to approach God in many ways. Some attempt to enter his presence on the merits of their good deeds. Others assume they are reaching him through their religious personal belief. Or because I speak well, everybody like to hear me speak, I can get there that way. But people who truly seek the Lord, who genuinely long to know and worship God, recognize the truth that salvation comes through Christ. That is the only way that you can receive salvation, is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is in their seeking and worshiping that they receive God's blessings and righteousness. The only way we can receive God's blessing of salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood that he shed it on Calvary. You have to know that Christ died for you. And those who come to God, come to Christ, must come through Christ's atoning sacrifice. Then we can enter into a relationship with God. It has to be a relationship with God. You cannot be saved and not have a relationship with Christ, with God. You have to have that relationship. If you don't have the relationship, this is something that goes on between you and God. And then you are living the way God would have you to live. So therefore, you have a relationship with him. If you have the right relationship with him, when you sin or you mess up, you feel bad because you know that you have displeased God. Amen, lights. It's there because when the relationship is right, you do not want to do anything to offend the person that you're in the relationship with. And God, for lack of a better way to explain it, is the person that we're in the relationship with, and we should not want to offend him. We should want to receive the blessing that God has for each one of us. God, in this relationship, he's willing to make it so this relationship will last all of eternity. It's not just a relationship that's going to last over the summer. It's a relationship that's going to last forever. And you have to know that this is the way it is. Because of our sin, we cannot live in communion with God until we surrender and make a decision to get rid of our sin. And When we get rid of our sin, we have to know that we have asked Christ to forgive us of our sin, and he is willing to forgive us of our sin. The only reason that you are not forgiven for your sin is because you will not ask. And that's a hard thing for some of us to do, to admit that I have been wrong. And there's somebody that can forgive me for what I've done. And Christ is willing to do that. He showed his willingness when he left heaven to come down. To come down to a place called earth to die for a wretch like me. He wants the relationship to be so that we can come and stand in the presence of God. Imagine that, if you will. Being able to stand in the presence of God. Just to stand. When you get in the presence of God, oh, what a righteous and a holy time that's going to be. And it's going to be based upon how you live while you're down here. So if you want to be in the presence of God, then you need to get in his word and study his word and find out how you're supposed to live. Seek him. He's not lost. This morning in Sunday school said, ask, seek, and knock. And if you do those things, you'll continue to do them, and then you'll end up in the presence of God. Asking is just verbalizing it, saying that this is what I want. When you seek it, you're going after it. And then when you keep knocking, you're at the right place, but nobody seemed to want to answer, but you keep knocking. All of us have been there in life, but we need to get there in our spiritual life. We need to bombard heaven with prayers. Whatever your situation is that you are having prayer about, if you stay before God and you get serious with God, God will answer. You might not get the answer that you're looking for. But if you're his child, and when God answers and it's not what you're looking for, you will get conditioned to accept what he gives you. Mm-hmm. Because you will know that what he gave you was what you deserve or what you need most of all. Sometimes when we get something and we don't like it, we don't know that that's what we need. We think we ought to have something else. Okay. God sent his son to become one of us. He sent his son. He lived a perfect life in front of us to show us that it could be done. Now, we had inherited sin. So we're going to need forgiveness of the sin because of our forefather, Adam. Jesus' forefather is God. So he's pure. The seed of a woman. And the Holy Ghost, they told Adam, Eve that the Holy Ghost would come upon you and what's in you will be caused by the Holy Spirit. No man had anything to do with that. I know with us, with all our technology and all, we find that hard to believe, but the Bible says it, and that's enough. And so, therefore, he sent him to become one of us so he could show us how to get back to the Father. He did it. All the things he did was based upon the Father. And it was based upon the love that he had for his Father. Brothers and sisters, you got to fall in love with Jesus. You got to love him like you love nobody else. You just got to love him. And don't ask me to explain it, but you just got to love him. And you love him because you know that there is a relationship. And I said that, and I just thought about it. There's some people we look at every day that we love them, and we don't know why we love them either. You ain't got to just put it to Jesus. There's some people you look at every day, and all of them don't live in somebody else's house. Some of them may live in your own house, in your own family. In your own church. God, we need to understand that we need to fall in love with him and just love him just because of who he is. Don't try to change him. Allow him to change you. When we allow him to change us, then we are getting closer to him every day of our life. But you have to allow him to change. Jesus Christ paid the price for each one of us to return to heaven with him. died a humiliating death, died upon a tree. Somewhere, I think it's in Deuteronomy, says, cursed is the person that dies on a tree. And Jesus died on a tree for a wretch like me. What am I to do if I want to see God? What do I need to do? We need to be a person with a pure heart. How can I have a pure heart? Invite Christ into your life. Invite Christ into your life. And then you have to have clean hands. I don't know what order they go in, but the clean hands has to do with what you do out there with your brothers and your sisters, what you do out there, how you treat them, and how you allow them to treat you. Your heart is within you, and that's where you have to live. The heart, it can be awful good and it can be wicked. But if we allow Christ into our heart, he will give us a pure heart and he will give us clean hands. But you have to allow him into your heart. If you do not allow him into your heart, he will not save you. He will not force his way in. The devil will crash your party, but God will not. But you have to invite him in. And when you invite him in, he will come in and he will sup with you. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what your status is in society. Doesn't matter what your mom and your daddy do or what they've done. If he's standing at the door and knocking, you come and open that door, he'll come into your heart. Invitation. God, I pray that I've done what you would have me to do. Will you stand? And if you don't know Christ, if you have not received him as Lord and Savior, this is your time.